Brother Leo is going to speak to us this next hour on a subject that is very enlightening. His title is God is Light. Brother Leo.
Thank you, Brother Dennis, and thank you, Brother Francis, for your prayer. I'm the first to testify that without the Lord's strength, I can do nothing. And that's the reason why I depend on the prayers of the brethren in order to be able to do anything at all. I said last night that I like to talk about our Lord Jesus. And that's true. But I also like to talk about our Heavenly Father. And that's what I want to talk about today. It's now about a couple of years ago that there was an article published in the National Geographic magazine on light. On the front cover was the title that says, Light, Dazzling Enigma. Something that might be a puzzle, hard to understand, but dazzling. Very good choice of words. The actual article had the title of The Power of Light. And the reason why we're going to be talking about this subject is because light is used in the scriptures as a symbol of our Heavenly Father. And I just want to hop and skip and jump through the article and pick out a few points here to give you a little background for this amazing phenomenon of a light that we all take for granted. And we just don't think about it a second time. We go out in the sunlight. Oh, it was so nice when we came by plane this time and they said, welcome to sunny Florida. And it was. We had left in a fog and a drizzle back home. But here we were in sunny Florida. That's the source of our light here upon earth, the sun. Well, this author, in writing about this subject, he says that light is an amazing thing. He says physicists have tried to slice it and to break it down into its components. He says, but light won't divide. He says it's pure, but not simple. That's one of the phrases that he made. And then he said that we take light for granted. That's true. Just like air. We never think twice about the fact that we are so dependent on air for the oxygen that's there in order to stay alive. And he says we don't think about it anymore, about light or air, as a fish doesn't think about water, doesn't ponder water as the essential for him. He said, but then every once in a while we get a very brilliant display of light, like a beautiful sunset. Or you might see the light upon the water as the sun is going down, or the dappled light in the forest, or the light coming through the stained glass of a church window. And there are some beautiful church windows like that. He says, or a flash of lightning. These are all manifestations of light. Or the rainbow that comes in the sky. But otherwise we don't think of light usually. Yet, what is light? And he says, no one really knows. And that is true. There's been a lot of effort made in order to understand what light is. But the scientists and all the work that they've done have not been able to really, truly define light. The first one who tried to do that was Sir Isaac Newton. And he propounded the theory that light was very small particles that came from a shining body, corpuscles of light. And that there were these little particles that were emitted by And no one there disputed him because he was such a giant, they say, on a scientific landscape that no other scientists, even though they thought otherwise, would try to dispute this. Until a man by the name of Scott Clerk Maxwell, who was working on electricity and magnetism, another equally mysterious material that nobody could define. And he came to the conclusion that electromagnetic waves travel at the same speed as that of light. And therefore, he says, light is an electromagnetic wave. And so you had these two theories, you know, that of small particles and a wave. And this author, in introducing the subject, he says, scientists say, is it a wave or is it a particle? Yes, both. And you will find out as we go along that that is true. It's both. Well, in any case, as men try to learn more about light in a scientific way, and they got involved in some very, very exotic subjects, subjects that are difficult for the lay man to understand, and such giants as Max Planck, Albert Einstein, and Albert Michelson, and Edward Morley, these scientists all working on trying to define light. He says what it led to, the author in writing this article said what it led to was certain permanent uncertainty, and head-scratching implications. After all, these men got through with trying to explain the subject. So light is something that is an unknown. It is it's mysterious and awesome, but no one can really truly define it. And isn't that just like our Heavenly Father, the great supreme creator of the universe? Who can really know him and understand the great power, the great wisdom, the great justice that comes from him, and as we sang in our hymn, the great love that comes from him? And so as we brought the love of the brethren, we brought it from God. He's the one who gave us love. He's the one who gave us to understand love. And you know, the work that was being done with light, it was Sir Isaac Newton that found out that in passing light through a prism, that white light, as we know it, white light, is really composed of all different colors, the colors of the rainbow. You go from infrared to ultraviolet. And they're all different wavelengths. The infrared is the slowest, and the ultraviolet is the fastest wavelength. And this reminds me so much of how the Apostle Paul, when he was writing about the graces of the Spirit and how we should put on these graces of the Spirit, both in the book of Colossians and in Galatians, in the fifth chapter of Galatians and in the third chapter of Colossians. In Colossians, he says, when you put out all these different graces of the Spirit, he says, then finally bind them all with love. And so I like to think of God's love as being broken down to these different colors representing different graces of the Spirit. But God is love, and that's how he's symbolized by light. But God is also all knowledge. And so we talk about him as possessing omniscience, that he's omniscient. It's like omni and then science. All knowledge, all wisdom. God is omnipresent. When light comes into a dark room, it spreads out in all directions. And God is present everywhere. You cannot run away from God. You cannot hide from God. And then God is omnipotent, has all power. And light is energy, has tremendous power. They're just discovering it now. Now, one of the first things that the scientists did when they were trying to define light, Albert Michelson, Edward Morley, they were able to measure the speed of light, which is an imponderable, as this man in writing the article said, 186,000 miles per second. Well, we're not accustomed to thinking about speed in terms of miles per second. We're more accustomed to thinking about speed as miles per hour. After all, we have speed limits on the highway there, 60 miles per hour or 70 miles per hour. That's going fast. Well, if you translate this 186,000 miles per second to miles per hour, you come up with a figure like 870 million miles per hour. That's an imponderable kind of speed, isn't it? Almost a billion miles per hour? That's how fast light travels. So you see, God is everywhere. We cannot escape from Him. How well all these things define our Heavenly Father. And that's why the Apostle John, when he was writing about God, in 1 John, the first chapter, in the fifth verse, he says, God is light, and Him is no darkness at all. And how true that is. We had the contrast, you know, of light representing those things that have to do with God and righteousness and His laws and good, in contrast with darkness that represents evil, sin, and death. Death is the final darkness of all. This is the contrast. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all, says John. And as Brother Francis Earle mentioned in his prayer, addressing our Heavenly Father, he says, the giver of every good and perfect gift. And the Apostle James says that of the Heavenly Father, but he didn't stop there. He says that God is the giver of every good and perfect gift, the Father of light. The Father of light. And when we think of God as being the Father of light, the source of light, and we think of the Son, of course, as being the source of our light, but the Apostle Paul tells us in 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter, 16th verse, he says, who only had immortality? He's speaking of God, not speaking of Jesus. Jesus has immortality now, but originally, God was the only one who hath immortality. There was no other being that had immortality prior to His giving it to our beloved Lord Jesus, dwelling in the light that no man can approach unto, who no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor, glory forever. Amen, says the Apostle Paul. And we could say the same. And dear friends, when we think of this, we also think of Moses when he asked to see God. And you know what God told him, as recorded in the 33rd chapter of Exodus. He says, no man can see me and live. So no man can approach unto that light that emanates from our Heavenly Father, the source of all light. And so, when we think of Him as the Father of light, we're reminded of the time when he started to prepare the earth for creation, for habitation. When the creative epochs occurred as recorded in the book of Genesis. And you know how the book of Genesis starts? It says that the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. But that God then, Spirit, moved over the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. Now, there's been a lot of speculation as to what that light was. Some brethren have thought that it was the light of the sun. But you know, as we go through the creative epochs, the sunlight didn't penetrate to the surface of the earth until the fourth creative day. Now, in a photogram, Pastor Russell suggested that it was some form of light like the aurora borealis, which we call the northern lights, or down in the Antarctic, the southern lights, which during certain times of the year is a dazzling form of light that occurs in the Arctic regions. And now that, you know, scientists have been working with all of this, with light, and get to know more about it. For example, right now there's men working on light, and they have what they call light amplified stimulated emission radiation, yeah. And that's the name, that the acronym for that is laser. Now, I always get bothered by acronyms if I don't know exactly what it means, but this is what it means. Light that's emission stimulated by radiation. And this is a form now of light that takes light, the electromagnetic waves, and concentrates them into a small space. And one of the things about light is it has no volume. You can crowd all particles of light. And when light passes through material, it changes from an electromagnetic wave into photons. And today, you know, if you look on the internet under the subject of photonics, you'll find a lot of things that are being said about it, because a lot of people are interested in lasers and the power of light. And when they start speculating about what light is going to be able to do in the way of power and energy, they're talking about zapping a hostile missile out of the sky with a laser beam, or having a spaceship go out into space powered by a laser based on Earth having a laser based source, and this would be the source of power for that spaceship to travel at a great speed and without any fuel at all. Now, these of course are speculations and imaginations like science fiction today, but they are supposed to be real. The power of light is something that has not been tapped at all. They just have not been able to fully understand what it can do. We know today about laser surgery. I had cataracts removed by laser surgery, and they're using more of it in other kinds of surgery. And the end of the applications of lasers is just something that is an unknown. But how fitting that is, you know, of the power of our Heavenly Father, the great power that prepared the earth for habitation. But before he did that, you know, every time a creative epoch came to an end, it went from darkness to light. From darkness to light. Each day started off in darkness and ended up with light. Kind of indicating that something unknown was going to be done, and then it would end up as a success with what God had in mind. But before God even started to do anything concerning the earth, His first direct creation was the Logos. And we read about the Logos in the book of John, the Gospel of John. And I like the way the Diaglot phrases it, because it says, in the beginning was the Logos. And the Logos was a God, was the God, and the Logos was a God. And those differences of used in the article, a definite article in one case, God is the God, our Heavenly Father. But He created this first being, His spokesman, that's what the Logos means, His spokesman, to be a God, a mighty one. And you would expect that He would be also symbolized by light. And He was. And so we read in the book of John. Let me just turn to that and read it. It's John, the first chapter. We're reading the first few verses, and I mentioned how they occur in the Diaglot. But it says further there. Well, one thing that was mentioned in the article, it says that we can't see light, but we see with light. And I find that to be more true all the time as I get older. I need more light in order to see, and sometimes a little help as well. And here it says, and all things were made by Him. That is the Logos. And without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life. And the life of was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. So God right there, the Logos is symbolized also by light. And you know, that's the way it was when before Jesus came upon the earth. Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist, had a beautiful prophecy in the book of Luke, the first chapter of Luke, where he says, and when he was able finally to speak after he'd been struck dumb by the Lord because he didn't believe the angel, you know, but then when John was born and they were all trying to give John another name, he says, no, his name is John. And then he was able to speak, and he gave this beautiful prophecy how John was going to be used of the Lord to prepare the way for one who was to come, and that it would be just like the day spring from on high and would come to visit us, like the sun would come here. And that's the way it was with Jesus when he came. That's the reason why Jesus said, as recorded in John 8:12, He says, I am the light of the world. And He was. And He's given us the privilege here, brethren, to be the children of light. What a wonderful title that is for us to have. To be children of light. To be those who can show the Father. Because that was Jesus was trying to do when he was here upon the earth. His main goal was trying to have everybody understand and see the Father. He kept saying that over and over again, that he wanted to show them the true light. He was a light. He's the light of the world. And when he created with the Heavenly Father mankind, and provided a perfect environment for man, He was the light of their life. But you know, it didn't last. Father Adam disobeyed. And because of the disobedience, darkness came upon the earth all over again. As the prophet Isaiah says, darkness covers the earth and gross darkness the people. But now Jesus had come, as Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, had prophesied, to be a light, to show forth the light of life, the source of life. We can't live without light. Can't live without air. We can't live without God. Can't live without our Lord Jesus. And as we know, he came here to give himself a ransom for all. It was well described by Brother Michael in this first talk here about the ransom and how important it is. And we've heard that before, yesterday too, a number of times. So this is now our privilege, dear friends, to be children of light. And that's how the Apostle Paul describes us in 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter. When he tells about the Lord's people, he says, "Now ye, brethren, are not of the darkness." No, you're not of the darkness. You don't belong to the darkness. You're children of light. What a beautiful title. Are we living up to it? Are we trying to show forth the praises of God? The praises of God who has called us out of darkness and into his marvelous light. That's the Apostle Peter's testimony of God. And it's part of what we had in our manna comments this morning. I like that. Can we in some small measure show ourselves worthy by showing forth the praises of God who has called us out of darkness and into his marvelous light? As I said, when light comes into a dark room, it spreads out in all directions very rapidly. It's everywhere. And that's the way it's going to be one of these days here upon the earth again. When light comes back and covers the earth and dispels the darkness that's here now. But these are some of the things that are mentioned concerning our privilege of being children of light. And in cooperating with our Heavenly Father in the work that's to be done here of spreading the light of his gospel message. The only light that can give men life. And as we have been noticing that the attributes of God are his wisdom, his justice, his power, and his love. So all these things are involved here in the subject of light. We have no idea of what a great power is light. But it's going to be used more and more as to replace the ordinary fuels that we have in order to get around, to get the energy, the source of energy. Light is energy. It's a tremendous form of energy. And it just is incomparable to anything else. And these are the things that we're going to be seeing as we go along in our Christian journey. More and more as we get to know God and know about his wonderful plan of the ages. As I mentioned earlier, that one of the objectives that Jesus had when he came to earth was to show the people the Father, to get them to understand the Father. That's why he was the light of the world, to get them to know the true light. And that's our objective too. We're trying to have people understand the true light that has come into the world, that the source of all the energy, the source of everything, No, there isn't a day that goes by when I don't think of something that's so remarkable, but we don't dwell on it often enough. It's just our own physical construction, or the way God has given us everything here upon the earth. They talk about going to Mars. But Mars, as they call it, is a hostile planet. There's not enough air to support life. They're searching for evidences that water may have been there at one time. But what if they didn't find out that water was there in one time? What an abundance of water we have here upon the earth to support life. What abundance of air, just the right amount. 21% oxygen, 79% nitrogen. Not too much oxygen so we could burn ourselves up. And not a deficiency of oxygen so we struggle for breath. Just right. Everything is just right. Just made to order for life here upon the earth. When God prepared the earth for habitation, He did a good job. And that's the reason why in the scriptures it talks about darkness going into light each time, at each creative epoch. We have these things that we ponder, and our hearts should be lifting up to the Heavenly Father in thankfulness for all the things that He does for us. The things that we take for granted. Because He is the Father of light and the giver of every good and perfect gift. And what a blessing we all receive from Him every day of our lives. He's such a wonderful Father. And I can't think of any better symbol than light to define Him, as John did when he said, God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. And one of these days, the darkness will disappear completely from the earth, because God's light will come here and illuminate every single man. Now, when Brother Dennis was introducing this talk, he says this is going to be an illuminating subject, you know, a little play on words there. And how true that is. How illuminated everyone will be when God's wonderful kingdom is established here upon the earth. That's the goal, that's the objective that God has. And that's why He's called the Father of Lights. And so, dear brethren, may we truly put forth the effort every day to show forth the praises of Him who has called us out of darkness and into His marvelous light, to make us children of light, to be associated with Him. What a great honor and what a great privilege it is to be selected to be a child of God and to be taught of Him by as a personal tutor and to receive all the blessings that He does give us every day and to know of the blessings that He's going to give to everyone in the future. And especially, dear friends, to be struck with the fact that one day, if we are faithful, we will see Him face to face. To be able to go into the presence of God, which, as well explained by the Apostle Paul, no man hath seen nor can see. And as he told Moses, you can't see me and live. But we will be able to see Him face to face and come into that wonderful presence, into that brilliant light that represents Him. that will be a great blessing indeed. So may the Lord help us to be faithful to the very end. May God bless us in our endeavors to serve Him and to be pleasing unto Him.